Hi, Trevor here. This is the much delayed and much cut down Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow episode of the Rufus Project podcast. Technically, it's also the final Rufus Project podcast. However, don't worry, we're coming back as Redeeming Features, or more specifically, the Rufus Project presents Redeeming Features. All part of a rebuild and a bit of a rebrand for the podcast and how they're managed. At this point, we're probably going to be doing just one per month, but if you keep an eye on the Rufus Project Facebook page, we will definitely let you know what's happening, when it's happening, and how soon you will be getting that very next tasty episode. In the meantime, though, sit back, relax, and enjoy this fine podcast about Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Boy? Oh boy.
Is it too good to be bad? So bad it's good. What's it? Do you think we should? Got bad, I love dodgy creatures, but we want to know where the redeeming features.
Boy?
Hello and welcome to the Rufus Project, this time checking out Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow from 2004. I am one of your hosts and the suggester of this movie, Trevor Holland, and I am joined by my good friend and co-host,
Christian Fletcher, one of the second watcher of this movie. So thanks for having me back, Trevor. It's always an adventure.
Oh, absolutely. And we have an adventure movie for this podcast as well. Incidentally, because of course we didn't mention it till well after the fact, happy 5th birthday for the Rufus Project.
Woohoo! I can't believe the time has just flown. And that's no excuse for our listeners to track down some of the movies that we've watched, because there's been quite a lot of them. So no excuse if you don't find one that you enjoy, because we have covered a lot.
So if you haven't seen Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, that's a mouthful, I have a synopsis for you. After New York City receives a series of attacks from giant flying robots, a reporter teams up with a pilot in search of their origin, as well as the reason for the disappearances of famous scientists around the world.
And interesting how you mentioned a movie that pays tribute to yesteryear, because already that just totally clashes with the plot summary. But as we will stumble on it, it's very much I think I read not a steampunk movie, but a diesel punk seemed to be the term that I noticed used a lot. So I'm going to stick with that, I think.
Before we talk too much about the movie, though, we do like to cover over, I suppose, a few bits and pieces about it. First, we look at any awards it may have been nominated or won. And this has got quite the surprising list. So the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy and Horror Films, it was nominated for Best Science Fiction Film, Best Supporting Actor for Giovanni Ribisi, Best Supporting Actress for Angelina Jolie, and Best Music. It won Best Costumes. The Gold Derby Awards, it won for Visual Effects. The Golden Schmoes Awards, I know that can go either way, it was nominated for Most Underrated Movie of the Year, Best Sci-Fi Movie of the Year, and Best Special Effects of the Year. It was nominated for a Hugo Award for Best Dramatic Presentation. Whew, the International Film Music Critic Awards, it was nominated for Film Score, but won Best Original Score for a Fantasy Science Fiction Film. Best Visual Effects from the International Online Cinema Awards. Best Visual Effects from the Las Vegas Film Critics Society Awards. It was nominated for Best Kiss between Gwyneth Paltrow and Jude Law in the MTV Movie and TV Awards. The Online Film and Television Awards. It was nominated for Best First Feature for director Kerry Conran, and Best Visual Effects. The Online Film Critics Society's Awards. It was nominated for Best Breakthrough Filmmaker. Boy, Best Visual Effects again, it won for the Phoenix Film Critics Society Awards. The Russian National Movie Awards, it was nominated for Best Blockbuster Movie. Satellite Awards, nomination, Best Visual Effects, Best Art Direction, and Best Costume Design. The St. Louis Film Critics Association, it won for Best Art Direction and Best Visual Effects. And the Visual Effects Society Awards, it was nominated for Outstanding Performance by an Actor or Actress in a Visual Effects Film for Jude Law.
Wow, what a list. And I can definitely, I can see why those visual effects are quite a big part, as we see when we speak to, when we'll speak about the movie. But yeah, it seems quite, it would have been quite ahead of its time, I suppose, when it came out, because I believe it was a new style of making film. So those don't surprise me. But the on-screen kiss, it was on-screen kiss, not chemistry between the leads. That'd be a different thing entirely.
Funny you should mention that, because now we get to move on to our turkey trivia. So we talk turkey about the movie, a few bits of facts and figures, and then a bit of trivia. So Sky Captain of the World of Tomorrow, it's rated 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb. It had a budget of $70 million. Its box office, $37
million.
Ooh. It bombed.
I do remember it coming out vaguely, but I think it probably would have come and gone from the cinemas. So, you know, and I can't even believe it's been 15 years since it came out. So, but I do believe it is regarded as somewhat of a cult classic in some circles. And as we can see from those awards, I can sort of see why. But yeah, that is a big box office bomb.
Mm-hmm. And so looking at some of the trivia, when the project was still in early development, Kerry Conran, the writer-producer, originally wanted to produce it as if it was a lost serial from the 1930s, with the film featuring unknown actors, shot in black and white, and divided into chapters, each ending with a cliffhanger. And that was all thrown out the window when they basically decided to get a bigger box office appeal.
Oh, it's hard to know what way it should have gone for them, because, you know, obviously not being able to compare it to a smaller budget version, but that is very quite interesting. And I think you've probably got this in your trivia, but I believe that the director put together sort of like a 5-minute short or something based on using the technology more to sell the concept. And it was then that the distributor, I believe Paramount Pictures, then picked it up and then I suppose developed it into this bigger concept.
Well, funny you should mention that, because after seeing the 6 minutes original short upon which the movie was eventually based, Gwyneth Paltrow agreed to sign on at an indie wage without a script. I did check out the original short, and it was definitely done, I suppose, as that original brief was. It's all in black and white. It was done as, you know, basically part of a, you know, the old movie serials, and yeah, really not. I mean, from what I saw in that short, most of that made it into the movie, except the unknown actors were replaced with the likes of Gwyneth Paltrow and Jude Law.
And it's always interesting with a project like that. Again, I don't want to say too much too early, but when they're getting something that is, you know, essentially 6 minutes long and then turning it into a, you know, an hour 40 movie, you know, they are stretching a lot too, and it's a lot visually for them to undertake, hence the reason why it was one of the first of its kind, I believe. And as you can see in the movie, most of it would have been done in green screen, pretty much probably 95% of it, you know, sort of before we got movies like Sin City and you know, a couple of others that I can't think of at the now. But I think this was probably the first one to sort of, do a film like this.
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly see that, future movies which go for that, almost black and white, old-style comic book style. You can certainly see how they would have borrowed from some of the aesthetics of this movie. Okay, well, that's moving on from the trivia. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we do aim to see if we can redeem these movies. So to do that, we need to set our baseline. So what I've done is I've gone to Amazon and I've dug up a review to see what we're working from. The title of this review, What a Stinker. Someone called this eye candy. Are they blind? Consistently bad photography and poor lighting do not constitute eye candy. If you actually want to be able to see any of the stars in this movie, you'll need to watch them in a different movie. The dreary visuals of this movie will drag you down sooner or later. By the way, I enjoyed the brown tinting in Oh Brother Where Art Thou, which was masterfully done. So I'm not simply someone who dislikes any attempt to manipulate colour or film. But in this movie, the attempt was poorly done and failed miserably. As for the plot, I'm not the best one to evaluate it. It was so slow and so boring and so unfocused that I lost interest quickly. I couldn't make it to the end of the movie. The characters? I don't know them as people and thus I don't care. And I always had the feeling that the actors were not sure about what they were doing or were not committed to the movie. One of the worst movies I've tried to watch in a very, very long time. 1 star.
Interesting. I do have to laugh, though, how they said, I don't know these people, therefore I can't relate to them. I don't think you know many of the people from movies. But anyway, I can see what they're getting at. But yeah, it can only go up or sideways from here. But yes, interesting. I always, I thought it was going to be the same person, but obviously it wasn't. But
so I did pick Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, Christian. So after you.
Well, thank you. Now, look. How I choose whether to redeem this or not is probably, you know, I really can't talk when I'm someone who redeemed Breaking 2 a few weeks ago. So really, I don't really know how to redeem myself from that. But look, I appreciated this film, especially for its, you know, it was visually exciting. But like I said earlier, I don't think it could sustain an entire movie. I would have loved to have seen it done possibly shorter or even done in the style of these shorts. I would love to have seen the black and white version that they were originally planning to do with sort of, you know, no-name actors. And I think that would have worked too, because it was almost would have seemed like this was a lost serial that had stars that we never heard about before, you know. And unfortunately, as soon as they bring in these big names, I think you expect a lot more for it. Gwyneth Paltrow's acting is always so hit and miss with me, but surprisingly, it did still work for the character, I think. But the chemistry between her and Jude Law was virtually non-existent, and I really didn't care too much for what would happen at the end anyway. Look, the use of the World War II aesthetic and decor was fantastic, being able to see how they could pretty much bring it into the sort of the diesel punk era. But unfortunately, after a while, it could be quite jarring. Like, you know, whilst you were sort of getting used to sort of the things of that era, to then see something that would go totally, you know, like this technological arc, you know, suddenly threw you quite a lot. And a lot of the rear projection too seemed to hurt my eyes a little bit after a while. And I think you kind of miss a movie that's real, you know. So, look, I can definitely feel its short story origin or short film origin. But, as I said, probably best not to have been fleshed out into a full movie. Look, that stayed its welcome. I didn't get as excited as this movie as I thought I would. It looked great, but even that, it can't last now, 45. And any attempts to bring humour to the movie just failed. And I think they could have gone more of a campy parody almost, rather than a tribute to this era. Now, it's a tricky one, Trevor, but I think due to its entertainment value and the fact that I really, really didn't get me, I'm going to have to say it's irredeemable.
Fair enough. Okay, so look, this was a tough one for me. I mean, after I watched it, my son came and asked me, how was the movie? And I replied, I don't know. I know sometimes we have things that are close to the line. For me, this was the line. And to tell you the truth, I had not yet made my call because I was waiting for us to have a chat and see how I felt about it on reflection. I really did like the old school movie aesthetic, and some of the visual choices were really, really impressive, and obviously took a lot of inspiration from not only the old school movies, but also the old school comic books that the character Dex liked so much. It gets mentioned a couple of times, it's from your comic books. And there's a bit there with basically has these robots with these tentacle arms comes in, and it actually has a shot of an old Buck Rogers comic. And I just went, that's good. That is probably exactly where they got those robots from. And you could see these connections they were trying to make and these tributes they were trying to do. But look, I mean, there was not much character in the characters. There was not much plot in the plot. There was not much acting from the actors in a lot of cases, but it was just enough to get by, and I still did get a giggle out of that lens cap gag, even though most of the other humour fell flat. But I do have to agree with you. Towards the end, it kind of just, there was a lot happening, but none of it was really exciting or unexpected. And I think it almost because it was set in like one main setting for such a long time, it actually worked against it. So instead of getting all these lovely different idealized things, we're just getting the one thing constantly, and that's when it started turning for me. As for my final thoughts, I'm down to the point where I now have to make a decision, and yeah, you know what, I do agree with you. It does come just below that line, and it you know, it could have easily gone the other side, which makes it even worse in some way. So sorry, Sky Captain, not redeemable.
Wow, unanimous there.
Oh, close though. So close.
I was a bit in two minds too.
Yeah, I finished watching the movie and they just sit in silence just going, what am I going to do? never had one so close to the line, honestly.
Yeah, and it is like what you said after watching it. Yeah, so, what did I just watch? I feel like I watched lots of visual stuff, but yeah, I don't think I actually saw that much.
Yeah, well, I can certainly see where the appeal lies for those that do like it. I mean, I do have an extra opinion here. Steve got in touch via Facebook saying, I loved this film. So, you know, I can't see where the appeal is. That's probably the greatest tragedy, I guess. I always find that's the worst thing. You can see the movie that could have been good within the movie that's not. Does that make sense? I hope that
makes sense. But unfortunately, the general public, when they see these movies, don't know how to isolate the good from the bad. So this is what audiences saw in 2004. And unfortunately, it came and went.
Indeed, it did. But as we mentioned, as an extra opinion tells us, even though we could not redeem Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, it does have its fans, and we do like to finish on a high note, regardless of our decision. So I've grabbed another review from Amazon. Now, this one's a bit wordy, but something about this that I think really encapsulates why people might like this movie. So I actually kept this one pretty much intact. It's titled, A Delightful Trip Down Memory Lane. As a boy growing up in the 1930s, I can still vividly remember my excitement on Saturday mornings as my dad would take me to our local theatre for the Saturday Morning Fun Club. There would be a feature, film, plus a shorter cliffhanger serial that would leave the hero in a life-threatening situation which was not resolved until the next installment the following Saturday morning. It was there I saw my first Buck Rogers serial, and I was hooked for life and science fiction. It was not until the Second World War that I would discover sci-fi pulp magazines. The Boy Scouts would collect waste paper for the war effort, and I discovered science fiction pulp magazines. I was so excited by that discovery that I would keep every copy that came my way and read and reread them. I mention that because this movie reminded me of that era and those serials and those pulp magazines. The magazines always had lurid covers of spaceships, heroes, villains, and space monsters, enough to satisfy the imagination of almost any young boy. This movie does a marvellous job of capturing the emotions generated by those magazines and movies. It communicated powerfully with my memories of those times, and I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. Although there are fewer of us now, if you are one who can share my memories of that bygone era, I encourage you to get this movie. If you're of a younger generation and can free your imagination, I suspect you'll enjoy it too. For the record, I'm still a dedicated sci-fi fan and enjoy an extensive collection of books and movies. 5 stars.
Well, there you go. It obviously, from somebody who experienced them first time around, it's obviously did its job in a visual sense anyway.
Let's move on. Let's move on from the possible merits and non-merits of this movie that I wish I could have redeemed, actually, now. But no, too late now. So we will need to discuss what we will be watching for the next podcast, Christian, and I believe it's your turn.
Yes. Now, again, had to go to the list. It's a growing list, and there's a few things on there. And I thought, look, I've been reading a bit about this movie recently, and it's always one that's kind of slipped under the radar and somewhat controversial. And I think this is probably a controversial choice for us based on its subject matter, but not as risque as something along the lines of, say, Showgirls. But I'm thinking of something that very much continued in the wake of that film and was probably a very mainstream film starring a very mainstream actress. And it was a box office bomb. So I'm going to go back a little bit further to 1996, and we're going to watch the Demi Moore movie Striptease.
Wow, I was pretty sure this one would turn up at some point, especially after we did Burlesque a while back. I must admit it did enter my mind to suggest, but you beat me to it.
So
Striptease.
I believe it's an erotic crime drama, which is quite an interesting title for a film. And, after Showgirls came out in 1995, a lot of people were trying to copy the success. But I believe this was the movie that pretty much ended Demi Moore's career, even though I know she still works. But, you know, her career as, I suppose, a big-selling mainstream actress. And I believe she was paid probably an unprecedented amount for an actress at that time. So I'm interested to see, and I've read things to say, that the movie's not too bad, but Demi Moore's the worst thing about it. So, of course, I want to see the train wreck unfold. So I think it's time we visit that for the next one.
Very well. Yeah, I have not seen this. So, as again, I always get quite interested by a movie I haven't yet watched that I can approach with a totally open mind. So if you do want to check out Striptease before our next podcast, I've brought up a quick list here. It is available to stream on Netflix, which always makes our life easier. It's also available to rent or buy on Google Play, Apple iTunes, the Microsoft Store, and on YouTube. So plenty of ways to see that in Australia. If you're outside of Australia, I dare say you've got more options than I've just listed there. Thank you very much for listening to the Rufus Project. I would normally say we'd be back in a couple of weeks' time, but I can't this time. Again, just keep an eye on Facebook. That's usually the best place to get all the updates about what's going on. But until then, enjoy watching whatever you enjoy watching, and we will catch you then. Farewell.
Your Honor, my ex-husband is a thief. That hardly qualifies him to raise a 7-year-old child.
Neither does being a mother without a job.
My lawyer told me this appeal is going to cost me $20,000. I mean, is there a shot in hell that I can make that in 6 weeks?
Erin Grant is desperate. And desperate times call for desperate measures.
Cream corn wrestling.
No chance that I am going to roll around naked in creamed corn with a bunch of drunken yahoos trying to stick niblets up my hoo-ha.
Erin has many interesting men in her life. Oh. An ex-husband.
What's Mercedes is that?
Some orthodontist from Tampa.
God, Daryl, what would Mom say?
She'd say nice fucking car.
Ow!
A United States congressman.
You must be...
Convac Dildo.
This nut is a congressman?
Congressman Dildo.
Why are you all shiny?
It's Vaseline. I can feel it squishing between my toes.
An enterprising lawyer.
You know, my neck really feels better, Uncle Al.
Oh, yeah? How's it feel now?
And a most unusual bouncer.
You follow politics, Mr. Shack?
Do I look like I follow politics?
Castle Rock Entertainment presents a story about the bodies that move.
You jump here in a second, that piece of shit.
And the ones that don't. Demi Moore.
I'm Malcolm Moldowski, Congressman Dilbeck's right hand.
You must be a very busy man.
Striptease.
You're Mrs. Grant?
No, I'm Barbara Bush.
Who is he?
George Bush.
So bad it's good. What's this movie? Do you think we should? It's got bad dialogue, dodgy creatures, but we want to know what the redeeming features.
Boy, oh boy.
Christian and Trevor on the case, watching movies from all over the place. I'm VP, says it's bad, but we want to know, is it fun to be had?
Boy, Oh boy.
Reading teachers.